We've been studying on Sunday nights recently about how we are to serve Christ in our older age, and this would be the bulletin says it, doesn't it? Fourth part in this series. Tonight we finally reach a point where we want to delve into looking at some of the specific examples in God's Word. Some of the best examples that we have of servants of God, and we will see that in so many of the cases, the very ones that the Lord upholds as the greatest of all examples, what He will show us about them to follow as examples are things that they did out of their faith and obedience to God in their older years. We want to start with the example tonight of Abraham. Now, when we read Romans chapter 4, which we're not going to do right now, we'll get to some portions of that, Lord willing, in a few minutes. But that chapter gives us the teaching that we are all children of God by faith in Him, and that therefore, in that sense, we are Abraham's children by faith. We're God's children by following the example of Abraham and his faith. So we're looking to one that God refers to in a sense as our spiritual father by his faith, that is Abraham. So surely there we are seeing one of the greatest examples that we have. He's also the only one that God speaks of and says he was the friend of God. So we're looking at somebody there that is on a plane that really is difficult, if not impossible, to match as far as examples that we have in the Word of God. We are told many things about Abraham and his life. But when do we first start reading about him? We're told about him at the end of Genesis chapter 11. But the first details we have of his life and the first example from his life that we're given of his faith to follow, how old was he at that time? 75 years old. And this is in Genesis chapter 12 that we want to start reading here in verses 1 through 5. And of course, we do recognize that Abraham's lifespan was 175 years total, and so he was in a time when the lifespans were extended beyond what we typically see today. However, what we will see also is that as far as the aging process, we see that those things that we associate with of younger age and bearing children, that still followed even then in Abraham and Sarah's time, because at the age they were when we were introduced to them, they are past the time of bearing children. And so we see that the Lord had an extended period of their middle and later years of life to reach 175 years old. But still, he's 75 in Genesis chapter 12 when we read the first major example that God gives us of Abraham's faith that he tells us to follow. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So that's the first major event of the life of Abraham that we read. Of course, he's known as Abram at this time. When he left Haran for Canaan, when he was 75 years old. Now, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, this particular event in Abram's life is singled out for us to follow as an example. In Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verses 8 through 10. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What drove this 75-year-old man to obey God's commandment to leave the only land he had ever known and all of his kinfolk, and to go to a land that he had never seen before, that he did not know, and because God said so? Well, it was out of his faith in God and his obedience to him. And then we see what was in his mind as he describes it there in verse 10, that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Was Abram, as a 75-year-old man, was he a man that considered his home to be in this world? Or did he look to his God and look to find God and was thinking in terms of his eternal dwelling place with him? Well, he tells us that was the case there. And let's look at verses 13 through 16 here in Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And we can see the heart that was in Abraham, that also was there in his wife Sarah, and in Isaac and Jacob. These ones had that kind of heart where they were seeking a country, not of this world, but a better one, a heavenly one. And for that reason, God was not ashamed to call him their God. We remember that scripture when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And he said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Did God sound like he was ashamed to identify himself as their God? Not at all. And what's the reason why he was not ashamed to say, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob? Because they trusted in him and obeyed him, believing in him, seeking that heavenly country, that city whose maker and builder is God. And he prepared for them that place. And we know that will be their eternal dwelling place. So we have that example from Abram when he was a man of the age of 75. And of course, that same faith that he had just continued to grow in the ensuing years. Well, the next glimpse that we have of his life that God particularly focuses on for us to follow as an example of his faith is when he was 99 years old. And this is in Genesis chapter 17. At this time, when Abram was given that promise, and this is a repeat of that promise that God had made to him, to have a son, Isaac, by his wife, Sarah. So he was going to have a son by her. And well, let's read verses 1 through 8 here from Genesis 17. It says, And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. So God spoke to Abraham, as he then referred to him from then on as Abraham, and repeated those promises that he was going to be a father of many nations, and his descendants were going to inherit that land of Canaan. He was going to bless all the nations of the earth through him and through his seed. Of course, that's a reference to Christ and a prophecy of his coming through Abraham as a son of Abraham. But then a little bit further down in verses 17 to 19, we see the response that Abraham had to God's promise there. Genesis 17:17-19. Then Abraham fell on his face, upon his face, and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." So God made it very clear to Abraham there that he was indeed going to have a son by his wife Sarah. Now he already had Ishmael by Sarah's handmaid Hagar that she had given to him. But that was not the child of the promise. That was not the one that God was referring to originally when he promised to make of Abraham a great nation. Of course, he did make a great nation also out of Ishmael, but he was not the son of the promise. He was not the one that God was going to fulfill all these things through that he's prophesying about here in this chapter, Genesis 17. That was going to only come through Isaac, that would be born to Abraham by his wife Sarah. Now, when God made that clear, this was going to happen, is there any more laughing on Abraham's part? Is there any doubt in his heart about this? Not at all. The answer to his question, shall he at 100 years old have a son and his wife Sarah, 90, bear? And the answer was yes, as he says what has happened, what ended up happening in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5. It says Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So he asked the question, shall a son be born to him that is 100 years old? The answer, yes. And he was. And to his wife Sarah, who was 90. That happened. God made that happen. So he fulfilled that promise. And of that, in Romans chapter 4, now's the time we want to go over there and read from this chapter. Romans chapter 4 shows us how this faith that Abraham had when God made that promise to him, he didn't stagger at it in unbelief, and is a great example to us by which we are his children and thus children of God by following that same example of faith. Let's start in verse 9 here in Romans 4. "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed upon them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So the whole point about that faith that Abraham had about that promise of God to give him Isaac through his wife Sarah, that promise that he didn't stagger at through unbelief, and that faith that he had was counted to him for righteousness because he was righteous to believe that and to carry through in his following of God through that. Well, that's an example for us. That's why we're told about it, to have that same faith and to be a child of Abraham and a child of God by that, having that faith and walking in the steps of faithful Abraham. But that's the faith of a man 99 and 100 years old that he's given to us there. So we see him in his advanced age, the faith that he had was great. When he was over 100 years old, because this is well after Isaac was born and he was weaned, when we get to Genesis chapter 22, we have another event in Abraham's life that God emphasizes as his faith and obedience for us to follow. As an example, in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac is obviously young, but he is not an infant. He is not a very young child, a toddler or anything, but he's describing here his command that God gave to Abraham to make an offering of his son Isaac. We start in verse 1 of Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and that's the word test. He wasn't tempting him to do evil. He was testing him, commanding him to offer his son Isaac. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And so then he took his son Isaac there to do what God said and make a burnt offering of him. And it tells us then in verse 9, or verse 8, Abraham told his son Isaac, "My son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So there was the great promise again repeated to him based on the faith that he had carried forth into obedience. He says, "Because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now, there are a lot of people that believe that in faith only, so-called, that all you have to do is believe in your mind and you don't actually have to obey the Lord. You can't come up with that doctrine from reading the Bible. And look at this example of Abraham. He's the father of all those who are faithful by his faith. But look at the faith that he had. And how was it demonstrated? God said, "Because you have obeyed my voice." Was it because he believed in his mind, but that was it? I mean, if he had only believed in his mind, "Lord, I believe you about Isaac, and you're going to fulfill all these promises by Isaac, but I'm not taking him there and offering him." I mean, would God have counted that for righteousness? No, that would not have been obedience. He said, "But you have not withheld your only son from me. Because you have obeyed my voice, I am going to fulfill all of these promises that I have made." Now, this event is also given in Hebrews chapter 11 for us as an example of his faith. But we see, again, it's a faith demonstrated by works, a living faith, by his obedience to God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. What was in the mind and heart of Abraham at that time when God told him to offer his son Isaac? I mean, this was the same one that we just read a moment ago that God a few years before said, I'm going to fulfill all these promises through him. And then he says, now go kill this boy. Well, what was he thinking? Well, here he tells us in verses 17 to 19 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that an Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What was he thinking? If I kill him, God will raise him from the dead and then fulfill all the promises. So was there any doubt in his mind that God was going to fulfill all that he said about Isaac? He didn't doubt it at all. So in his mind, well, if God tells me to kill him, he's just going to raise him up and then do it. And then consider that kind of faith and the strength of it. Do we have any examples of anyone being raised from the dead like that up before then? There's no example that we're told of about that ever happening. But he thought that's what God will do. Of course, we also saw in there in Genesis 22, he considered that God would find a way out of that for him and provide a lamb for an offering, which he did. But we can see that he was obeying that command. He was in the act of doing it, and then God stopped him. But he was obeying that commandment, considering what God would be, the way that God would be able to fulfill that. What a faith that he had. And he was over 100 years old, well over 100 at that time. James chapter 2. This is one of two examples given in this chapter of what a living faith means. A faith that works, that obeys. This example of Abraham and offering his son. The other one is of Rahab hiding the spies in Jericho. But let's read what he says about Abraham here in Genesis 2, 21 through 24. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. I mean, so that is one of the examples of how a living faith is not a faith that is alone. It's not by faith only, as he says. His faith was made perfect, that is complete. His faith was completed by the works of obedience. He believed God, and then he carried that forth into action to obey him. So here was a man that was very advanced in age, showing his faith and obedience to God. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we've been given one of those exceeding great and precious promises from God. Concerning our temptations, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, he says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, how many people would have the capacity to be able to bear the temptation that Abraham was under in Genesis 22? Offer your son. That shows right there how great his faith was and what he was capable of bearing, and God knew that. And, of course, he did provide that way of escape, and Abraham obeyed the Lord. It was that temptation did not overcome him. He overcame the temptation. What does it say about his faith? And we can go back in those other points in his life that we're told about. What was a greater test to say, leave your home and go into Canaan? That was a great one. But that versus offer your son as a burnt offering. Kill your own son. How much had his faith grown from the age of 75 to 100, whatever he was at that time when he was told to do that? So consider how a man old in years was still growing in his faith, was still obeying God. He hadn't put it into neutral. He had not stopped because of being whatever age to say, okay, I am whatever I'm going to be spiritually, and I'm done now. I'm retiring from growing in faith. Not at all. He continued to seek God, to serve God, to grow in his faith and obey the Lord. The more the years went by, it continued on with him. The best example we have of Abraham we see here is as a very old man. And that tells us a lot, and what an example that is for any and all of us at all stages of life. But particularly, that should be an encouragement for those of us and that are in an advanced age. Look at what's possible, and there's no time to stop growing. There's no time to stop seeking God. No time to stop learning of His will and doing it, as Abraham did. Well, what about his wife Sarah? Well, Sarah is one that Christian women are identified as being her spiritual daughters in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 3. And that's a reference we want to get to in just a moment in reading, Lord willing. But Sarah, one of the greatest examples we have of faith in the Bible, men and women. But all Christian women are said to be her spiritual daughters. So is she important? Is her example great? Very much so. And in Genesis chapter 18, which we know at this time because of the statement we already read in Genesis 17, in verse 17, when Abraham, he was 99 years old, his wife was 89 at the time because she was 10 years younger, it says in Genesis 17. So we get to chapter 18. Now we're looking at a time when Abraham was 100, Sarah 90 years old. So she's 90 plus here in Genesis 18. And she's told about the promise that God has made that she herself is going to bear a son to Abraham. And the reaction that Abraham had in chapter 17, we'll see repeated with Sarah here in chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Says, he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That's what God said. Well, after this, was she convinced? Yes. And her faith was strong in that too. And God fulfilled that. And now we can see a growth in her faith by the time you get to chapter 21, at the time when she had born Isaac and when he was at that age when he was weaned. And they had a feast at that occasion when Isaac was weaned. And we want to read in Genesis 21, starting in verse 1, what happened on that day. And we see the great faith that Abraham, that Sarah had, to the point that God told her husband to listen to her. She was right in this. But let's read here, Genesis 21, starting in verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Well, it was difficult for Abraham to send out his other son, but that was the will of God. And Sarah understood God's will, the promise that he had through him. But you can see the strength of her faith and how much that had grown within a year's time in her case. But what an example that she is. And this is pointed out in the New Testament a number of times. In Romans chapter 9, this is one of the places we read about that faith that was on display there of Sarah in Genesis 21, as she understood that Isaac was the heir according to God's promises and not the child of the bondwoman, not Ishmael of Hagar. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. So that is given again as the example and proof of what we read there in Genesis from concerning Sarah, but is also continued to be followed in the sense that we have to be children of God by our faith. And those ones that, not all the ones that were physically descended from Abraham, were the heirs of God's promises. That's true to this present time. For us, we are not the physical seed, but we are the spiritual children of Abraham when we have faith, which is the point there in Romans 9, based on that example of Sarah, which is also in Galatians chapter 4, given as an allegory there in the book of Galatians in chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, are as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. I mean, that point that Sarah understood, was that an important point? It was an extremely important point, as we see it brought up numerous times in the New Testament, a testimony to the great faith and understanding that she had, and that she continued to grow in her older years. And she's brought out as an example in Hebrews chapter 11. In that same chapter where we read several verses about Abraham, but let's look at verses 11 and 12 about Sarah. Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. What God did by bringing Isaac through Abraham and Sarah, it was not only by Abraham's faith, it was also by Sarah's faith in the promises of God. They both had faith in him. And now that brings us to 1 Peter chapter 3. In verses 1 through 6, as he is giving instruction to Christian women, particularly Christian women here in this context, who have unbelieving husbands, but he's going to show how Sarah is an example to these Christian women, well, to all Christian women, as we're going to see as he brings it out in verse 6. But let's look at 1 through 6 of 1 Peter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So he says Christian women are her daughters when they follow her faith. And she is an example of being in subjection to her husband. So we have so many ways in which Sarah, by her faith and obedience to God, serves as one of the greatest examples, not just of women, but of all people that we're given in Scripture. But again, this is someone who was, the events that we read about in her life particularly are when she was an older woman. And that is very encouraging for anyone who is continuing to seek the Lord like they should in older age. We have an example of Abraham and Sarah doing exactly that. And we do have several other examples that we want to look at that we don't have time for right now because we're out of time. But we want to continue with this series, Lord willing, next Sunday night. So we will stop now for this week. And take this opportunity to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that is here that is not yet a Christian. If you are in need of repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Christ before men and being baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to do that and have the hope of eternal life. Or if you are one that is a member of the body of Christ, if you do need prayers of your brethren here, and if you need to have need to repent of sin, if that is your need, you have the opportunity to come also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please won't you come right now while we stand together and sing.